Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. Now, yesterday I told you that the particular verse we studied was one of the most important in the Bible. Well, wouldn't you know that today I would tell you that the verse we're going to study is one of the most important in the Bible. And this one helps you to keep your balance regarding upon whom you're going to rely for your safety. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. A lot of people feel safe when they've got a very strong military to protect them. I think a lot of people in this country feel safer thinking that we've got a very powerful military. However, you have to remember that safety, regardless of the size of your military, is of the Lord, not of the power and might of your military. In other words, if your military is strong and your relationship with the Lord is strong and he's providing your safety, hey, that's really good. But if your military is a little weaker, but the Lord is still protecting you, that's good. That's very good. However, if you've got a very powerful military, but the Lord's not really protecting you, you're in trouble. Because if you read through the Bible and study the wars of the Bible, you're going to see that many, many times armies had very powerful militaries, but no protection from the Lord. Okay? And they were decimated by far inferior numbers and far inferior weapons. So the key is safety is of the Lord. That's the key. Now, we're a safety-conscious society here. I mean, everything you read about, safety with products and safety with seals on medications. We have OSHA, and some people complain they go too far. Some say they don't go far enough. You know, whatever. The point, very simply, is that there is an attempt to increase the safety of employees in work environments where there is a potential for danger, accident, and death. Seat belts, another area for driving automobiles where there is an element of protection. In addition to the seat belts, we have the airbags, okay, just to try to help you through a wreck. We've got preventative health care, where there are measures that are taken with your diet and your exercise and your nutrition to try to improve your body's ability to fight off diseases and to allow you to enjoy longer health. There are burglar alarms to warn you if there's been an intrusion into your house and basically to run off the burglar before there's ever any harm to you or your property. Safety conscious. There's protective gear of all sorts, like in athletics, to keep athletes from being injured. There are child monitors that you put in a baby's room in order to listen to the child to see if there's any interruption in the breathing, to see if there's any need for emergency care. There are financial plans to provide you with safety in your retirement years so that you've got plenty of money to be able to buy what you need and you're not going to have to worry about your health care and your nutrition and your food during your advanced years. There are child-proof locks on cabinet doors to keep children from getting into various kinds of chemical products like cleansing agents that might be harmful to them. There are child-proof caps on medication so that children can't climb up on a chair and get over there to a bottle of medication that you take and take it and then harm themselves thinking that maybe it was candy or something like that. Nationally, we have the Homeland Security, And Homeland Security is supposed to make you feel a little safer, somebody's watching out against terrorism and other kinds of things like that in your country. There are security screening places at airports to protect you when you're flying. There are safety standards and codes of conduct at school to prevent various kinds of malicious acts between students that might result in great harm to a student or even their death. There are safety precautions for hurricanes, so that if there's a hurricane that comes, you won't dehydrate or your house won't collapse, or maybe you can evacuate and get away from it so that if it does collapse, you're not harmed. There's gold accumulation. People are concerned that, you know, the stocks they have for retirement, the money they have for retirement is not going to be worth anything, so they're accumulating gold and silver in order to protect themselves in a failing economy. There's gun ownership and concealed weapon ownership to protect you in the event that there is a burglary in your house and you want to eliminate the person that's broken into your house to keep them from harming you or your family or your possessions. There are home safes, which presumably will keep some burglars from being able to steal possessions that you have. There are insurance policies that are written to give you some measure of safety in the event that there is a problem. At least you won't suffer through a tremendous financial calamity trying to put things back together the way they were. There are safety instructions in airplanes. Stewardesses give you those safety instructions so that if there's a problem while you're flying, presumably you'll be able to have your life spared if you follow the safety instructions, assuming that there's not a major crash or a fire on the plane, something like that. Lifeboats and life preservers on sailing vessels and instructions on how to use them and places to muster in the event that you had a catastrophe like the Titanic. And on, there are all kinds of safety regulations and safety precautions and safety measures and safety devices in order to protect you. People want to be safe. But you know something? With all of this attention on these measures of safety, people are leaving out the most important component in their plans to make safer lives in a safer society. You know what they're leaving out? They're leaving out the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. When you're on an airplane, the stewardess, and the way the law is written and that kind of stuff, you know, is not going to bow her head and ask the Lord to give you a safe flight. She may do it silently, but she's not going to do that. The captain's not going to get on the air and on the PA system and say, now, will we all bow our heads? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to ask the Lord to give us safety while we're in transit. But you know something? In churches, people bow their heads. They'll say, we're getting ready to travel to such and such, maybe a family vacation, maybe a business trip, maybe a need to go see a family member, you know, the remaining family members after a family member has passed away or something like that. And they'll say, please pray for the Lord to grant us traveling mercies. Safety. Keep us safe along the way. And people want to be safe, but, you know, it's not very common that you'll see people bowing their heads publicly and talking to the Lord about safety because they're all concerned about all these other things that we've mentioned. So while you take safety precautions, you must, particularly if you're a Christian, you must trust the Lord. Now, if you trust the safety of those things and you're not trusting the safety of the Lord, you are making a huge mistake because those things can fail you. You can still die being safe. I remember, it's been years ago now, but there was a fellow that had a crash in a city. He was downtown area. And the way that he collided with the other car, it actually caused his car to flip. Now, people ran up to the car to render aid and saw that he was seat belted into his seat, but he was hanging upside down with the belt across his lap. And, they were afraid. Litigation is rampant in this society. They were afraid to touch him since they saw that he was not, you know, didn't appear to be terribly injured. They decided to leave him there until the paramedics got there so that they wouldn't perhaps bring him down and cause spinal injury or a neck injury or something like that in the event that he had hurt himself worse than they could see while he was hanging upside down there in that seatbelt. And, you know, there may have been good reason for them to do what they did, okay? I'm not arguing that. The point is, the man had taken the safety precautions necessary to spare his life in an accident. But do you know that by hanging upside down in that seatbelt, that by the time the paramedics got there, he died? He died. And in fact, the seatbelt, hanging upside down in the car in the seatbelt, was the cause of death. He didn't have spinal injuries or neck injuries that would have killed him if they had lowered him. And that's a tragic thing. But here's a man that took the safety precaution of putting on the seatbelt, but in fact, that's the reason that he died. And you've heard other cases like that where if the fella had been thrown from the car rather than crushed inside of the car, he would have lived. Now, I'm not advocating, therefore, that you not wear seatbelts by any stretch of the imagination. The point is, the guy took the safety precaution, but it just didn't work. Likewise, you can neglect some of these safety precautions and still be safe because of the Lord. Again, we're not advocating that you neglect your safety precautions, but only indicating to you that in some cases, the Lord intervenes in such a way that if it hadn't been for the Lord, the person would have died. Many people survive terrible accidents with not much more than a scratch, and they can only attribute their safety to the Lord's intervention. And we've heard many, many testimonies along those lines. I remember visiting a guy in a hospital, and boy, he had a tragic wreck. I saw the condition of the vehicle that he wrecked. It was a one-car accident, driving too fast down the interstate, and lost control of a Blazer. And man, when that thing got into the ditch and started rolling, it mangled it up and watered it up literally like a tin can. Well, the guy simply had a broken cheekbone, and he had a bruise under his eye. You could see where there was some redness there. But you know that he did not have any other major injury. He got a little bruising, but I mean, the guy was in the hospital for a day for observation, and they performed later a little minor surgery on his cheekbone in order to, it was a cosmetic thing, in other words, and to make it look better. That guy was thrown out of that Blazer traveling down the interstate at 95 miles per hour. Now you say, whoa, and he was not wearing a seatbelt, and he was thrown from the vehicle. And by being thrown from the vehicle in the condition that that vehicle was in, it literally saved his life. But you know what's odd about this? What's really odd about this is that this was not the first time that that fellow had been thrown from a vehicle that was traveling in excess of 90 miles an hour. It had happened to him. This is the second time. And both times, his life was spared, and both times he got away with little more than a scratch. Now, so that, you know, obviously we're not advising that you neglect your safety, but just telling you that as a general rule, we have lost our balance. Everyone is running around fearful of not being safe, of not taking enough precautions, of not having enough protection. And, you know, frankly, part of this problem is due to the advertising, because they know they can sell more of their product if they get you scared about not being safe. But listen, who is praying for safety and really relying on the Lord for the safety? That's the question here. If the Bible says safety is of the Lord, then by all means, protect yourself any way you want to. But protect yourself mainly by the Lord. That's where your safety is. I mean, some people I know are still going to drive around without a seatbelt, and some people I know wouldn't even think about shutting the door and starting up the car unless that seatbelt was fastened. Well, it's the law, so, you know, obviously you're supposed to do it. But the point is, in the case of somebody that is taking the necessary safety precautions, never count on the device, on the precaution, on the measure, and then leave the Lord out of the situation. You've got to rely on the Lord for your safety. You've got to rely on the Lord for your financial safety. You say, well, I'm taking every precaution that I possibly can, get my IRA and my pension plan and all that stuff. Okay, that's fine. But what if all those things go bust? What if the stock market crashes? Then you're not going to have financial safety in those things. Those things are going to dwindle. So if you're not relying upon the Lord and those things dwindle away, what are you going to do? Well, you've got to trust the Lord. Listen, compare the widow that gave the two mites to Ananias and Sapphira and just see how it went. The widow, Jesus said, gave all of her living. And I can assure you, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out that that widow fared very well until the day of her death. The Lord took good care of her. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be as spiritual as Barnabas by giving a great gift from the sale of a possession. But they also wanted to make sure they had a little nest egg back just in case things didn't quite work out the way that they should. So they pretended, and this is where the problem really was, they pretended to give the whole amount when in fact they were giving a lesser amount. That was the problem, not the fact that they did keep back a little bit. Peter said, it was yours, you can do whatever you want to with it. It was the fact that they pretended. You know what happened? They died on the spot. They died on the spot. Wow. Well, that sent a message to the church. Listen, if you're going to pretend to be spiritual in your giving, you better be spiritual in your giving. Don't be a hypocrite and give less than what you sold the possession for, but tell everybody else you gave the whole amount. You'd be a liar. And boy, I mean, they got bumped off. You know, there are a couple of verses in the Old Testament speaking of accumulating gold and making financial preparations and that kind of thing. A couple of verses in the Old Testament that you need to be reminded of. We both do. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 19, the Bible says, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. And you know something, there are people who have really put all of their faith and confidence in the accumulation of gold and in their financial plans for the future. And the Lord said, there's coming a day when the thing is going to be so disastrous. They'll literally cast the gold and silver in the streets because you can't eat it. Their bowels are not going to be filled, and nobody's willing to take it. It's worthless at some point in time in the future. You say, man, that's a shock. Yes, it is a shock. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. In the mouth of two or three witnesses of every word established, the Bible says, and Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver as the dust, and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. What's the problem? The gold and the silver could not deliver them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, remember? So you gotta rely upon the Lord. That's all there is to it. If you don't know how to trust the Lord, you're just not, you gotta trust the Lord. Make whatever provision you want to make, but you got to trust the Lord because the provision you make may not be there when you need it. We got to rely on the Lord for our country's safety. Look at Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was getting ready to be swamped, literally, by a conspiracy or a confederacy of armies. I mean, there was no way that they could win the war militarily. There's just no way. But then notice this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So they got a big group of singers out there praising the Lord out in front of, they went out before the army, they're out in front of the army. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, verse 22, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, They looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Man, the enemies killed each other. Moab and Ammon killed the people from Mount Seir and then turned on each other. Verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. They didn't even have to fight. Here they were, substantially outnumbered. There was no way in the world they could win the war. They put their reliance in the Lord and started singing praises to him. God intervened and allowed the enemy to kill themselves. The army never had to fight. All they had to do was use their carriages and their arms to get away with all the spoil. It took them 3 days to do it. Wow. Now compare that with Isaiah 31:1. Isaiah 31:1. Compare that with this. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Now, late in Judah's tenure as a country under the kings, they went down to Egypt for help. But he says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. You see how unwise it is to make all those military preparations and leave God out of the plans? So for our country's safety, we have to have the Lord preeminent. We've got to rely upon the Lord. There's no other way. You need to rely on the Lord for your health. So much safety today is toward your health, but you got to rely upon the Lord for your health. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, we find out a very interesting thing. Deuteronomy 34, speaking of the last days of Moses and his death, the Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That means his natural force was just as strong then as it was when he was younger, and his eye was just as good as it was when he was younger. That's a miraculous thing to be 120 years old and yet be in that good of health. Look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. Joshua chapter 14, look at verse 10. Notice again, if you're going to rely on somebody for your health, rely upon the Lord. Again, you want a diet? Diet. You want to exercise? Exercise. You want good nutrition? Do it. Do it. Do all those things. You ought to take care of yourself. Just keep a balance. If you're not going to trust God to take care of your health, you can do all those things and die young. It happens all the time. Joshua chapter 14, look at verse 10. The Bible says, and now behold, this is Caleb. The Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's Caleb. But that's not the only remarkable thing. He said, I'm still alive now that I'm 85, just like I was when I was 40. But look what he says in verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He was 40 years old when he knew that he was going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before going to the land of Canaan, when he decides to go take his own mountain. He's 85 years old. He said, I'm just as strong today as I was back then. You know who took good care of his health? The Lord. The Lord. We're going to have to rely upon the Lord for your children's safety. For your children's safety. He said, suffer unto me the little children, for of such is the kingdom of God. Or maybe I didn't quote it exactly right, but you know the text. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, he says, I wrote down the wrong reference there. You need to trust the Lord with your children. Absolutely. And then in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, this very interesting verse, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels, they say that's kind of strange, the guardian angels, but notice, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, if the angels are beholding the face of Jesus' Father in heaven, let me tell you something, you don't have to worry about those kids. Take the necessary precautions. That's fine. Put them in the car seat. Hey, that's legal, and that's the right thing to do. But just know for a fact that if they're going to be saved, God's going to be the one to take care of them. The reference I gave you is Mark chapter 10, verse 14. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Sorry about that. What about job safety? Well, job safety, you're going to have to trust the Lord, but you're also going to have to employ some wisdom. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8, you build what's called a battlement around the roof of your house, so if somebody slips off, they don't fall onto the ground and kill themselves. Some way to protect themselves. Well, people harness themselves when they're working on roofs. Sometimes they put up various kinds of blocks so that they can't fall off the roof. Okay, that's wise. Exodus 21:33 talks about a man digging a pit and not covering it. The right thing to do when you dig a pit is cover it so nobody can fall in it. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 8 to 10, tell you that if you're messing around trimming hedges, you're liable to get bit by a snake. If you're lifting heavy stones, you're going to hurt your back. And if you're chopping down wood, you're going to have to keep your axe sharp. Practical wisdom keeps you safe on the job, plus God's protection. Plus God's protection. You've got to look to the Lord to take care of you and to protect you in any environment, no matter all the precautions you take. And for you to go in there and think that the precautions will do it without trusting the Lord is absolute foolishness and nonsense. There was a war that the Jews fought against the Midianites in the wilderness. In Numbers chapter 31, verses 48 and 49, and the Bible says, the officers which were over the thousands of the host, and the captains of thousands, and the captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses. And they said unto Moses, thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. They fought, and you know what? Not a one died. Now, I've gone through this thing, and looking at the clock, I am just run myself right out of time. You want safety in a storm? Jesus Christ is going to have to take care of you, like the disciples were taken care of when they were rowing in the sea. You want gun safety and protect your house? The Lord condones that in Luke 22, verses 35 to 38, self-defense. But remember, safety is of the Lord. And then when I close, let me give you this verse right here. I wish I could give you more references, but you get the points. Psalm 4, verse 8, close with this, Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. My friends, safety is of the Lord.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, BC.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.